You would please turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 10. Luke in chapter 10. We want to begin our lesson here with a little bit of an account of an interaction between Jesus and some women. And look at something that Jesus said here as the foundation for our lesson this morning. A familiar story for most of us. Luke in chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This morning I want to talk about the difference between Mary and Martha. Now, we've probably considered this many times. This is a story that's familiar to us all. But it's so relevant to our lives. It is so relevant to the 21st century, maybe now more than ever. One could argue that we are now more like Martha in the 21st century than we have ever been as a people. But when we see these two women, Mary and her sister Martha, what we see is a lesson on margin. And you understand what margin is when you look at a piece of paper. And you realize that when you write on that paper, you should probably not write at the very, very top. There's a line on the indentation on the left. There's a line coming down from the top. And you put your text right in the middle to give yourself enough space around. Too often, though, we write at the very edge of the paper. In many ways, and we'll talk about a few of those ways in just a little bit. In many ways, we are operating without margin. And we'll see the difference between the way Mary acted and the way her sister acted in regard to margin in just a second. But really, we're talking about overcoming overload. And I want you to think seriously, think personally about your own life. This is an introspective kind of lesson. This is a lesson that you personally need to cogitate on, meditate on, and think about in your own life. Do you have margin? You have margin. And again, we'll talk about what that means in just a second. But we see in this story, Mary is the shining example. She is focused on Jesus. She's focused on Jesus. She's not distracted. She's not doing anything else. She's focused on the teachings of Jesus and hearing his words. She's relaxed. Wouldn't you like to be relaxed? I just got back from vacation. And I was feeling really relaxed until we hit rush hour traffic on the way back and had to sit in line waiting for an accident to clear for an hour, 2 hours. And you feel relaxed for a time, but then that stress starts to come back. But Mary here in this situation, she's relaxed. In fact, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. How much more relaxed can you be than when you're sitting? And there she is. She is unconcerned. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on around her in this story. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of moving parts, but Mary doesn't care. She's not worried about all of these things and all of the details. She's unconcerned. And one of my favorite phrases to use, one of my favorite thoughts to think about is being present. You know what it's like to be present versus what it's like not to be present. You ever been at a restaurant and you see the happy couple sitting across from you and both of them are staring at their phones? They are not present. They are the furthest from being present. They are somewhere else. They are in Facebook land or Instagram world or whatever it is. They're not at that table. They might as well just have stayed home. But Mary is present and she's focused and she's relaxed. If this could be the ideal, wouldn't you want to be like Mary? Wouldn't you want to be present and focused and relaxed and unconcerned with all the things going on around you? This seems like the ideal. This seems like where we want to be, doesn't it? But then you see Martha, who is the exact opposite. Martha is distracted, and that is what it says here in the text in verse 40. Martha was distracted. Make no bones about it. She was not focused on what she needed to be focused on. She was scattered. She was stretched too thin. She was burning the candle at both ends. She was anxious. Jesus calls her out for this. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Anxious and troubled, if there are two words that could describe most of us in this modern world, it is anxious and troubled. Martha was stressed out. She was at her wit's end. I mean, you could just empathize with her. You can put yourself in her shoes, I think. Because I think we've all been where Martha is. And again, as a contrast to Mary, she is distant. You ever gone to a party where somebody was hosting the party and you walked through the door and all you really got out of the host was a, "Hey, Brian!" And then they went off to go do their other things that they were doing and you never really saw them again? You never really had that connection with them? You never really built that relationship with them at that gathering together because they were so busy? And oh, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to step on their toes. Martha is the opposite of Mary here because she is operating without margin. There's no time left. There's no room. There's no space. There's no buffer for Mary to operate in. Hi, my name is Brian, and I am Martha. I struggle with this probably more than some of you do, and that's not a good thing. I think about Martha a lot, and that's why I wanted to bring this lesson today, because some of the things in thinking about Martha, some of the things in thinking about wanting to be more like Mary, if it's helpful for me, I hope it'll be helpful for you too. Because we live in a world today that is just stretched so thin. If you're a type A personality like me, and if you're a type A personality, you know what that means. You know, you're driven, you're motivated, and people look at you and they're like, "Wow, how do you get so much done?" And you're always filling up the time. If there's an empty block of space on your calendar, ooh, how can I fill that? What can I stick in there? What can I do in that spot? The concept of taking a break, taking a rest, leaving it open in case something else happens, that's foreign to a lot of people who are like Martha. And it shows up in a lot of different ways, by the way. I could come out and say today that here are the four or five things that we all struggle with when we have no margin, when we have no buffer, when we have no room, but it's different for everyone. I know people who are marginless, who they have an appointment at 8 o'clock, and the drive there will take them 25 minutes, and they leave at 7:50. That's marginless. You're never going to make it there. And they operate without any buffer. Now, when I have to be somewhere at 8 o'clock, I'm leaving at like 7:05. Okay, because who knows what's going to happen? That was actually what happened yesterday when we were driving back home. We left with enough margin in case anything happened. And just so happened that we sat in traffic for an hour and a half longer than we expected to. And it was a good thing that we had that kind of buffer, that we had that kind of margin. But I am marginless in a lot of other ways than just being on time or being early. I like to fill up my time, fill up my schedule. I like to live kind of pushing the edge of what is available to me. And that really is what margin is. If we could define margin in probably its most simplest terms, margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. Let that sink in for a minute. the amount available beyond what is necessary. Margin shows up in our time. Margin shows up in our money. Margin shows up in our energy. Margin shows up in a lot of places that touch our everyday lives. This is a very practical thing for us to think through because it touches a lot of aspects of the way that we live. You could think about it from the perspective of your money. Let's say you make $2,000 a month, and the things that you have to spend money on equals $2,000 that month. Well, you have no margin. You have no buffer. You have no fallback. You are right at the edge. And too often, marginless living means I made $2,000 and I spent $2,500. That is a greater problem. That's pushing it even beyond what we think we can do. Now, margin in our time or being marginless in our time is not quite as easy because there are only 24 hours in a day. Okay, so you really can't spend more time than is allotted to you that day. But if you wake up and you have every moment of the day planned to a T, and you have to be here at this time and there at that time and there the next time, well, what happens when somebody gets sick? What happens when there's an accident on the freeway? What happens when something goes wrong? You have no margin. If every hour of every day is planned out to a T, you have no buffer or fallback. And that is the problem that Martha experienced. She had everything planned. She had so many things going on to the point where she could no longer focus on Jesus because she was so busy with everything else in her life, with all the cooking, with all the serving, with all the preparation. And we're going to see some lessons from her in just a minute. In case you think this might just be a 21st century idea, I want you to think back to the old law. God is a God of margin. God, from the very beginning, has called his people to have margin in their lives. You have 7 days in the week. One of those days is dedicated to God, and it was called the Sabbath. If you had work to do on the Sabbath, sorry, buddy, you're not doing it on the Sabbath. God instructed them, the children of Israel, to not work on the Sabbath. And as we find out from Jesus, Sabbath was not created as a punishment of the people. In fact, Sabbath was created for man. It was to serve man. It was to help man. And when we see that taking time aside and putting it in a dedicated way to doing something that's not selfish, that's not seeking our own pleasure, that's what God wants us to do. And he's always wanted his people to do that. He's always wanted them to take time to reflect. You think about Jesus in his life. He was a perfect example of this, wasn't he? He was pressed on every side. He was being followed by the crowds. Everyone wanted a piece of Jesus. And what does he do in the middle of the night? He sneaks away, goes up to a hill, and spends time alone praying and meditating. He needed that time. He needed that margin. In spite of everything else that was going on, that was an important aspect of his faith, was going and being alone, was going and getting some space. Tithing is another way. You talk about money, not just time, but money. Of the amount that you make, it's not all yours. And God's rule for them was to take 10% and to give it to the Lord. And so if you needed 100% of your finances to survive, well, you are in big trouble because 10% of that belongs to God. And we don't give with the same kind of directives today, but we give as we've purposed in our hearts. We give as we've prospered. And so there still is, even today, a place that we set aside what we make for the Lord and for supporting the work of his church. We see the harvesting principle in the old law. This was more of a visible way of seeing margin. If you have a a field, a 10-acre field, and you're going out and you're harvesting everything, they were instructed not to harvest the corners. Why? Because the corners were reserved for the travelers and for the poor. If you had a field, your job was to create margin to help other people, to serve other people. And so God has always been a God of margin. God has always been someone who wants us to create space in our lives for what is most important, for what is most necessary. So we're going to look at a couple of things from this story here of Mary and Martha. Some observations, four observations, and hopefully these things will be obvious, but I think as we consider these things, they're deeply meaningful about the way that we live, why we choose to do what we do, and how we can create more space in our life. The first thing we need to think about is that margin starts with what we value. What did Martha value? Martha valued housekeeping, service, hospitality. Now, who would say that being hospitable is not a good thing? Being hospitable is a great thing. Many of us would do well to follow the example of Martha in her hospitality, inviting Jesus into her home and feeding him. And oh, by the way, don't forget, it wasn't just Jesus. Who went around with Jesus everywhere he went? 12 dudes. He was followed around constantly by people. So think about just having Jesus in your home. Fine. How about Jesus and 12 of his buddies? Well, that's a bigger deal, isn't it? And so you're thinking about the good things that Martha is doing, but that's not what should have been the priority. The priority was not eating. The priority was not comfort. The priority was Jesus' words. And that's what he tells her. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen the good portion. What you've chosen to do is distracting and anxious and unnecessary. So often, though, when we're in the middle of our busyness, we say, this is totally necessary. This is important. And sometimes we need Jesus to shake us by the shoulders and say, that is not important. That's not as important as you think it is. And that's hard to come to the realization of in the moment when we are in the middle of it, when we're busy. But it starts with what we value. What Mary valued was the words of Jesus. Mary valued the time and the relationship with Jesus. She valued that connection. And isn't this story exactly what Jesus was describing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? We just sang the song, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What are all of the things? Well, don't be anxious about your body. Don't be anxious about food. And can't you see Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount basically turning to Martha here and telling her the same thing? Don't be anxious about food. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear. God's going to take care of us. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And I think the story of Mary and Martha here, this is directly applicable. Jesus could have very easily turned to her and preached this part of his sermon again because she needed to hear it. So what do you value? Do you value being busy? Do you value all of the things, all of the details, all of the events, the checklists, and all of the things that you have to do? Or do you value what's most important? And that is a connection with Jesus. That is seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. Do you view that as most important? And if you do, then you will become more like Mary and you'll be able to say no to some things, which is the next point. So margin, without having margin in our life, stress increases and relationships suffer. And we see that lesson here very clearly. What was Martha's biggest problem? She was stressed out. Because she was so busy and so overextended and so overloaded, she was stressed out. And her relationship with the Lord suffered because of it. That's what happens when we go 110% all the time. When we turn the volume knob to 11, so to speak, and when we are always operating at peak capacity, you are just asking to be stressed out. And you're asking for your relationships with God and with other people to suffer. I'm going to ask a pointed question that I'm asking really to myself. And maybe you'll find value in this too. Do I visit the widows and the sick enough? Or am I too busy? Do I have too much going on? Is there too much on my plate to do the simple act of connecting with a brother or sister who's hurting? I'm asking myself that question because I know the answer. And the answer is I'm more like Martha than I care to admit. We're stressed out. And our relationships suffer when we operate at such a high capacity all the time. And it is a problem. Because Jesus wants us to be at rest. He wants us to find peace. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about rest and peace. Verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. All the work, all the activities that you are involved in, come to me. And I'll give you rest. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound like something you want? You want to rest when you come to him. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, lest you think Jesus is talking about laying in a hammock, he's not. He's talking about working. This is still about work. Okay, this is still about effort. This is still about activity. This is still about our motivation to do something. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus wants us to rest. He doesn't want us to get so wrapped up in our physical pursuits. He doesn't want us to lay up our treasures here on earth. He doesn't want us to hoard our time and hoard our possessions for our own selfish gain. He wants us to give it over to him, so that we can find rest. And when you see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, you see what rest looks like. She was learning from him. She was studying. She was hearing and building a relationship with the Messiah. That's what we want. That's what we need. But what is so easy for us to do is get distracted with serving, get distracted with all of the busyness, all of the minutiae, all of the details. Roland is sitting up here on the front row, and Roland has done a really amazing thing for me recently, and he's taken over all of my responsibilities here on Sunday morning. All the getting the slides ready, all the doing the recording, all the running here and running there and doing all this other stuff. Roland's helping me out. And Roland is helping me become more like Mary. Because for the longest time, every Sunday morning, I was Martha. Running here, running there, running to this place. And I couldn't even ever find a time to just stop and talk to somebody, have a conversation. So believe me when I say this is a personal kind of lesson for me, and I hope it's useful for you too, because we can be so easily stressed out. The point is about saying no to good things so that we can say yes to better things. Because again, serving, being hospitable, isn't that a good thing? It sure is. But Martha was so focused on the good thing that she couldn't pay attention to the better thing. And that is, again, what Jesus is telling her. But one thing is necessary. What is it that's necessary? It's the thing that Mary's chosen, the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary chose the better option, and that was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But getting so distracted with cooking, she comes to Jesus in exasperation. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." I mean, can you imagine? Martha is asking this question to Jesus, throwing up her hands. What does she expect Jesus to say? "Oh, Martha, you're right. This lazy old woman here is just sitting here doing I don't know what. Yeah, she should be helping you." No. Jesus calls Martha out for this and says she's said no to running around worried about food so she can say yes to sitting at my feet. And there are so many good things that sometimes we just have to say no to in order to choose the better things. And again, I can't tell you what those good things are in your life that you need to say no to. I wish I could. I wish I could just give a blanket statement to say, X, Y, and Z activities are always bad or not helpful, and all of these other things, these are the things you need to focus on. I can't do that because everybody is different. You have things that maybe wrap you up more than they wrap me up, and you have things that you need to be focusing on that you're not, and I have my thing. And we all need to take stock of ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what do we need to say no to? I am terrible at saying no. I don't know about you. I am terrible at saying no. If somebody asks me to do something, yep, I got it. Yep, I got it. Yep, I got it. And now all of a sudden my checklist of to-do items is a mile and a half long, and I'm stressed and I'm exasperated. And if that relates to anyone, well, then you're like me and we're like Martha. So let's say no more often. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul talks about spending our time wisely. And that's so important because the days are evil. And we need to then, as he says in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And if you know anything about wisdom, you'll know, as the Hebrew writer talks about, it's all about discernment. It's all about holding up two things and saying, what is the best choice? And I can't give you the answer for what that always looks like, but we need to be wise and not foolish and understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to understand, what does God want me to do right now? What does God want me to say yes to right now? What does God want me to say no to right now? And we need to make those decisions on a day-to-day basis in order that we can focus on the better things. Here's a point that I always like to think about in this story. You know that margin is often mistaken for sinfulness? Because that's what happens with Martha, right? She looks at Mary and she says, "Jesus, you rebuke that woman for sitting there. She's just sitting there." She's calling Mary out for her laziness, for her sinfulness, for her idleness. And that's what happens when busy people look at people with margin. I can't tell you how many times I've done this myself. I am so busy. Look at them. They're not doing anything. But I forget. I forget that they've chosen the good portion. And I'm just distracted and anxious. And I'm disconnected and I'm not present. Margin is often mistaken for sinfulness. Actually, it happened to Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. You remember the discussion about him and John the Baptist? John the Baptist did not go out and eat and drink with people. Jesus did go out and eat and drink with people. And as they see Jesus eating and drinking with tax collectors, what do they call Jesus out on? They say, "You are a drunkard and a glutton." Oh, well, is Jesus the drunken or the glutton? Drunkard or the glutton, or is he choosing the better things? Yeah, Jesus was there to heal the sick as the physician. And so he needed to eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. Now, on the surface, you might say, that looks like idleness. But it wasn't. Just like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus was not idleness, was not laziness. And this is often the case. So when you find yourself getting more margin, when you find yourself saying no to things, good things, by the way, "Hey, can you come with me to this event? I'm sorry, I need to be with my family today." You may get backlash for that. You may get people saying, you need to get more involved. Well, you don't understand that I'm making choices that are important to support my margin. You need to understand that I am discerning what is good versus what is better. And you will get people coming to you judging your choices. Don't let that stop you. Please, don't let that stop you. And oftentimes, the people who are saying that are the people who are operating without margin, who don't know how to say no, and who don't have their priorities straight. And so we see that Jesus is not impressed by marginlessness. This is a word, by the way, that I made up. All the autocorrect kept trying to correct the word, but I put it up there anyway, because I think you get the point. Jesus is not impressed by marginlessness. There Martha is holding up all the things that she's done, all the busyness, all the activity, and she throws that in Jesus' face. And Jesus turns to her and says, you're the one with the problem. He doesn't say, ooh, look at Martha. Look how many things she's doing. Look how busy she is. Jesus is not impressed when my calendar is completely full. Jesus is not impressed when my bank account is maxed out. Jesus is not impressed when I get home at the end of a busy, busy day and I crash and I can't do anything anymore. Jesus is not impressed. He's not. And in fact, in the scene of the judgment in Matthew chapter 7, he's going to look at a lot of people who thought they were very, very productive in the work of the Lord. Oh, we are so fruitful. We've cast out demons in your name. We've done many mighty works in your name. And what is he going to say to them? Depart from me. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You were not present with me. You were on your cell phone. You were focused on other things. You were very, very busy. But I am not impressed. Depart from me. I fear that that will happen to some of us if we're not careful and we cannot step back and reprioritize our lives. And so just some helpful questions to close out the lesson. Things that I have thought about personally and hopefully you will think about as well. What are some specific steps, and I mean specific because this is personal to you in your life, what are some specific steps you can take to reduce stress in your life? Maybe start by answering the question, what stresses you out? And think, what are some things that I can do to reduce that stress? This is not warm and fuzzy. This is not touchy-feely. This is practical living for a Christian. Because our Lord does not want us to be stressed out. He doesn't want us to be operating at the peak capacity all the time. He wants us to come to Him and find rest. So how can you turn down the volume on stress in your life? Think of some ways, think of some things, and think of some things that you can say no to. How have you seen your intimacy with God and others decrease as a result of not having enough margin? Are you connecting with people the way you should? Are you connecting with God's word the way that you should? Do you have enough time to spend in study? Do you have enough time to teach your children about the Lord? Do you have enough time to connect with those who need you in this church and everywhere else in the community? Do you have time? Do you have money to help and support those who might need it? Do you have margin, or are you seeing these effects on your relationships with people around you? What are you placing before God? The dishes? The laundry? The serving? The busyness? What are you placing before God? And don't just write it off and say, well, those are necessary. Those are good things. Those are important things. Sure, they are good things. But are they the better things? Are they the better things? And so how can you put God first this week? A really personal question, and one which I hope you will answer for yourself as we think about being more settled and at peace, giving ourselves more room, more time, and being the kind of people that are countercultural to the world. Because you have to wonder if somebody in the world who's stressed out and busy sees a Christian who's also stressed out and busy, do they think we have it any better than they do? No. So So think about these things throughout this week. How can you put the Lord first in everything that we do? Please take out your songbooks and turn to the number that's been announced. A really personal kind of thing that we all have to think about. And another personal question that you need to think about this morning is, are you saved? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Are they washed away in Jesus Christ? And if they're not, then we stand ready to help you, to baptize you, to walk beside you, and to support you in that work if today is the day of salvation for you. Please come forward as we stand and sing.